evening, everyone. This is Dr. Peter Kevorkian, and I am your host, TC, for Sermon Connect. And our very special guest tonight is Dr. David Fletcher. David has been engaged in many aspects of chiropractic throughout the years. He has been full-time practice for over 30 years and is presently owner of the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance, which I'll let him explain it because he can do it much better than I, but in simple terms, a company that is supporting chiropractors at being able to validate the cessation phenomenon and understand its impact on patients, both from a patient education standpoint, an academic standpoint, a scientific standpoint, and a technical standpoint. David is a leader at being able to bring the level of of chiropractic practice and chiropractic understanding to a place that very few individuals have been able to do. So I am so excited to have him as our guest tonight. His talk is Certainty and Simplicity. I don't think you could put it any better than that. Cutting out the distress and noise that does not define chiropractic. Dr. Fletcher, it's been a joy to have you on.
Well, it's Peter, it's always great to hear your voice, and most importantly, it's wonderful to be connected to the chiropractors who, for the right reasons and for the inquisitive reasons, are, you know, joining in under the Sherman umbrella, if you will, because when we think of the word Sherman and we think of the title Sherman, we absolutely acknowledge the ability of the history of subluxation-centered chiropractic to be put in front of people. And with the evolution and the academics that are now forefront within the Sherman, in the Sherman community, that doesn't mean that it wasn't always there, but it's just so vivid these days that I am remarkably honored to share my voice and my time with such an institution. So, Peter, thank you very, very much for including me on the Sherman Connect calls.
Thank you for being here.
Well, you know, it's an endless journey that you and I have embarked upon to try and align our lives with the message that is so profound, which is indeed chiropractic. And as you and I have become great friends over the years, but great colleagues as well, we start to realize that there's one thing to dabble within chiropractic and to look at it as some type of you know, employment model and a place under which one can earn a living. And then there's another way in which you, as we sort of glamorously and inglamorously refer to it as getting dipped. And getting dipped means that you literally immerse yourself into what it is to be chiropractic. And I don't mean, you know, I don't mean that you are detached from it as an individual in the way you operate, but it just seems that as you embrace the philosophies that drive the chiropractic message, you start to realize that it's a way of life instead of a way to go to work. And so I think that, and listen, I think that everybody alludes to that. I mean, that's their desire when they go to school and perhaps choose a profession. But I feel that there are few others in the professions that I've met, yourself, myself, and so many of the others that we sort of feel around with, that we would like to share, I believe, with that sort of immersion that we've engaged with the listeners on this, and perhaps we can learn from them, but in so many ways we can share with them.
Perfect.
I just feel that there's so much honesty in living a life of chiropractic at so many different levels. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Oh,
and you know, it's not such a bad way to make a living either.
No, it's actually and, great. Living.
You know, if you really take a look, it's funny because, you know, obviously through our paths that we are on as chiropractors and, you know, through the paths that we interact with other professionals, whether they be in business professionals, health professionals, or otherwise, you sort of take a look at no matter how you set it up, whether you're doing volume or whether you're doing your time or whatever else, and you sit down and kind of go, wow, we've got this thing pretty much figured out. You know, it's not exactly the dental high overheads, and it's certainly, you know, not as hierarchical and demanding as, say, institutional medicine. And you wake up every day and you kind of go, are you kidding me? I get to see hundreds of people a day. I get to do amazing things and have conversations that only, you know, philosophers could hope to engage upon in some academy. And then you pack it up and do it again. It's really one of those remarkable experiences that if you get into the flow of chiropractic in its simplicity and its certainty, which is what I hope we can touch on today, that it becomes this passionate life that I can only say from looking backwards, because I've lived it, is something I never, ever dreamed of doing. I mean, I heard about it, but I never dreamed that it would be as rich as it is. And why don't you just share with me, you know, I mean, you live in chiropractic as your spouse is a chiropractor and the rest of it. Peter, would you, you know, tell me your sort of feelings of this life as a chiropractor. I'd love to hear.
This is your interview, not mine.
Oh, no, it's not.
Okay. Well, you articulated beautifully. I get to get up every morning, work at my house, so I need to commute. At 6 in the morning, I get to go into my office, and as you said, hundreds of people walk in through my door, absolutely love being there. I get to do something for them, to them, with them, that allows their body to function in a better place. They're happy for it, and they pay me for it, and I get to learn the lifestyle, and I get to do it again tomorrow, and I get to take the resources I get to raise family and have a wonderful life back to my profession, to love the profession, to advance myself. So
yeah.
To be totally congruent with my own philosophy and expressing that personal philosophy and my values within my life without compromise.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those pinch you moments. And I think that one of the reasons I chose this principle of dynamic duo, sadly that kind of references, you know, my youth growing up in you know, Batman and Robin, if you will. But the dynamic duo of simplicity and certainty really, I think, are what lead us down this path of where you have that pinch me moment in your life and your career. And I'm not suggesting for a moment that is something that's learned. It's really an experiential growth and development. But you have to start somewhere.
Right.
And I think one of the great sort of learning curves that I went through is that I opened myself up to be able to operate in this simplicity model. And that was hard for me. You know, I really was a guy who, I never really wanted to be a medical doctor. In fact, I chose not to be one. But, you know, I really loved the knowledge that was affiliated with the human experience. And so I wanted to learn more. I come from a mathematics background. And so the idea of looking at things in a logical way was one of those wonderful attributes that I brought into the healthcare learning tool. And I think that this simplicity, that's very complicated, by the way. You know, there's a lot of knowledge that you have to attain. And then you have to sift through it and kind of get yourself down into the what matters. It all matters, but it what matters is not being distracted by that outer noise of knowledge. And I think one of the great triads that I was taught, and it comes from the upper cervical guys, was that they used to always say, and perhaps they say it now, is that you go from the know that you know that you know. And it was in reference to knowing that you were on the contact that was going to clear the subluxation. And they always talked about that sense of knowingness. And you had to bring to the table that incredible educated, which is this knowledge of everything that is consolidated into that one contact that's going to, with intention, arouse innate. And so you don't walk in there with an idea of exactly the vector you're going to place on your hand on and everything else. That's all built into that moment of where you approach the subluxation. And you get into this incredible, you know, confined moment of where knowledge then hits the second knowingness, which is experience.
Right.
And the experience is that you take a contact into that vector, which you're not thinking about, you're really almost feeling it out. And as you take that vector of contact and you prepare yourself, you start to realize that you detach from that physical knowledge-based action and you start to deliver what will soon be this masterful thrust and adjustment, toggle recoil, into this experience that is only defined as that innate-to-innate experience. And at that moment when you're about to release innate and go into that next level, you take it to the third level of knowingness, And that is this knowingness of artistry and mastery. And that's when you detach from the outcome because you are certain that it has been delivered. And, you know, that's the kind of triad that changes lives, not spines. And if you look at the elegance of this whole model of what it is that we stand for, and you start to recognize that the wisdom and the intelligence and the amazing outcomes that are inevitable when you arouse and aid and clear the nervous system are really best delivered in the most simplistic model. You know, in other words, that the certainty represents the degree of simplicity that you can bring to the table.
Amen. And you couldn't have put that better. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and I think that when I take a look at the market space, and it doesn't frustrate me anymore. It saddens me more than frustrates me, because there's such a disconnect between that elegance that I just described there, that is really this true art of philosophy and science that I, you know, comes through that know that you know that you know. And you know, I sit down and I as you do, and I travel around the world, and I travel in many different chiropractic circles, and I'm invited to speak to a variety of different groups. It'd be great if I could just speak to, for instance, just the IFCOs and the Berkshires and everything else, because, you know, then we just have a little love in amongst all the people who think the same and act the same. But the truth is that our mandate, yours and mine and many others, is really to not be satisfied with, you know, hanging out with the people that kind of get it. It's to try and elevate the experience from a different perspective. And so I kind of go to the different CEs and the different state associations at times. And I, you know, I'm a CMCC grad. And so I kind of, you know, cringe even in my alma mater. But you forge ahead and you meet others. You start to realize that there's this huge disconnect in how chiropractic is being delivered or even perceived. And in, for instance, my alma mater, which is, as I said, CMCC up in Toronto, there's this derisive approach towards those who even use the term subluxation. They actually refer to them as subby. And, you know, it's really, you know, it saddens me, it frustrated me, but it saddens me because it's such a narrow perspective. If you look at what makes chiropractic unique, it isn't because when you deliver a manipulative thrust and you cavitate a joint and you go to, you know, manipulate or release a fixation that you've created a chiropractic adjustment. And there's this complete disconnect between what an adjustment is in some of these educated models and to what a manipulation is. And as a result of that, the simplicity of the adjustment can never be applied to this model. I was reading the newspaper in Toronto. In Toronto, for those of you who aren't that familiar with it, and Peter, thankfully you and I had a chance to commune up here in Toronto this summer. It's a great world city. You know, it's kind of the equivalent of New York of Canada. And so it's very vibrant, and it has a very, you know, active art scene, and it's cutting edge in many technologies, and it's very bohemian in other ways. And so it's a great place to live and very cutting edge in what it stands for. And so in the paper this weekend, they were profiling this osteopath chiropractor fascial release specialist who had sort of taken on the arts community and was revered. You know, we have like the Toronto International Film Festival here, and so, you know, she's sort of the darling of all the you know, artists who come here. And, you know, it hurt me because here we had a chance to have a chiropractic, you know, superstar, and the best that she could come up with was discussing fascial release. And I can't fault her for that, because in my mind, if you haven't had that sense of know that you know that you know, then you're going to be satisfied with working with the subsets of human physiology. And the subsets of human physiology,
Fletcher speaking, and just, he goes,
are
simplicity
not,
and certainty,
are not
so
mine.
He's talking.
These are not my definitions of what a subset is. These are Kapanji's and other you know, and other educated authors, you know, there's no doubt that when it comes to the control mechanisms, the subsets of anything that associates with the spine anyways are the subsets of the soft tissues and the structural tissues. It is the controlling mechanism of neurology, of where the elegance of the subluxation is examined, and where the power of the adjustment is quantified. Anything other than that, and anything that happens other than that, Peter, is a subtle side effect of that ability to understand how chiropractic, in its simplistic way, can put a canceling wave format into a very disturbed neurofunctional array. And in a brief moment, and this is the genius of chiropractic, and in a brief moment, take a mechanical wave format, apply it to an intelligent, responsive, adaptive system directed primarily at the interface where central neurology is most affected between mechanical wave formats and electrical wave formats, typically at the associated dentate ligament responses. And as a result of that, through the act of this impact and impulse, creates such a wave format that an incoherent state begins to address itself and become coherent and ultimately efficient in the way that it can produce easier communication of an intelligent responsiveness as the body needs to reorganize itself to a higher level of energy and organizational behavior. That is the simplicity and the certainty and the elegance of what it's like to know what a subluxation is and to know how to apply an adjustment to a primary subluxation. And I only wish that we could know that every school that was churning out a chiropractor, that every licensing board that was licensing a chiropractor held them to those standards, because then the world would be a better place.
Well, wouldn't that be nice?
That's my feeling. I mean, we only wish.
So what are the tools that you believe a chiropractor needs to develop, skills or mindset to develop that certainty?
Well, I think that you know, we'll build on that know that you know that you know. I think you have to walk into this idea of your career with the intention of burning the boats. In other words, that you're not going into it to try and see if you can make it or not. You know, the burning the boats comes from that sort of either Greek or Roman, you know, mythology that says the great commander, he landed all his troops on the shore and ordered the people to burn the boats. And he said, there's only one way forward. There's no retreat. And so I think that in the essence of moving forward, we have to take the perspective that this isn't about trying to see if you are going to be into chiropractic, is that you make a decision that this is your life path and that you're going to investigate it. And that's a big decision. You know, people like to have parachutes and they like to have outs. But I think that when you come across that and you kind of say, well, I can't imagine myself being anything but a chiropractor, that I think it starts there. And you know, I think mentorship is really great. So I would say that the first tool that you need to do is you need to be open to be mentored, and you need to find a community that you resonate with. And, you know, I'm going to step out and say that there are really, really well-organized academic communities that associate with the type of thinking that I've been putting forward here. I think that if you were to read and investigate what the ASRF does, which is the Australian Spinal Research Foundation, you would find that they talk the language of the subluxation through a very educated perspective. I think that if you want a community of like-minded chiropractors at a political, social, you know, responsive base, that you would spend time looking at what the IFCO had to speak about. I think that if you were to go to sponsored programs, that you wanted to mingle with people while educating yourselves and being affiliated with cutting edge, you would find lyceums. I'm speaking at a lyceum in New Zealand this year again. I'm going to speak at the Lyceum in Sherman this year. I'm one of just many of them. But look at the schools, look at the congregations, and that these are tools, Peter. That you, if you show up, you will be immersed in this. We put on a program at Total Solution, this known as Total Solution, that was started with one of your great, one of your great educators, Dr. Christopher Kent, who's the evidence-informed director at Sherman, and he started it 20 some years ago with Dr. Jen Tempo and myself. I've been there from probably most of that time, and we've graduated, if we can say that term, 7,400 doctors through this program, and it's 3.5 days of learning and feeling that know that you know, and finally, hopefully, the knowingness. Joining the ICPA, I mean, listen, I'm sort of going on the route that you've laid out in your life, but the ICPA is not about pediatrics. It's about adjusting families. It's about having the certainty and the simplicity of knowing that you know that you know that you're relevant to all members of the family. And so I think that it begins by finding community, by being open and finding that you can nurture your soul is being a chiropractor. And then you start to realize that there's these gaps, that there's these gaps that you thought that you could fill sort of without necessarily, you know, taking the next step. And you realize that if you want to be that master, that you've burned the boats, that you're 100% committed, that it's time for you to really know what a primary subluxation is. And when you find out what a primary subluxation is, you want to try and define, am I clearing the primary subluxation? And so I think that you have to really define after that how chiropractic works. And look, long before I took over the reins of CLA, I had made the move to be a client of using neurofunctional technologies to at least give me a window so that I could look deeper than an x-ray, look deeper than my hands. And so I started to passionately understand EMGs and thermal scanning. And those were the early days. And those are sort of the two standards in neurofunctional look-sees that have been used in chiropractic models. And I started to understand pattern analysis and define what it was like to be subluxated at those levels, autonomically and through the motor system. And the recent iterations of technology bring us forward into neuroplastic response and adaptability. And one of the great things that we do now, not only with CLA but in chiropractic, is that we use heart rate variability, or HRV, to really look at the salutogenic model, to really look at this overall perspective. And I don't think there's a school on the planet that takes salutogenesis as seriously as Sherman does. With the guy who wrote many of the papers that Antonovsky started and Christopher Kemp finished through a chiropractic lens, you, as an education institution, and I know I'm tooting the horn for Sherman, not just because I'm invited to be there, but, standing looking out, it's quite remarkable. And when I get a chance to take a look at what the graduates are doing in your school, in New Zealand, in Life West, that is moving it forward, at Life, of course. These are the schools that are graduating those caring doctors that understand the difference between a manipulative adjustment, that understand the distinction between optimizing potential and having a good pain-free day.
Amen.
And I'm honored that this is now the and here's something that's really cool, Peter, is that I could have this conversation and only a handful of our age group of peers would be, jumping up and down and saying, I hear you. Today, when I go and stand there, there is an entire room of youthful chiropractors who want this message, who want the message of the subluxation, who want the message of being unique in the healthcare continuum, who chose not to be physiotherapists or medical doctors, or, who chose to be chiropractors for the reason that it is a unique hedgehog in the healthcare continuum, and if you get to know it, it averts you having to use the healthcare continuum, which is kind of at the end of it all. It's a pretty special place to be. I think that the tools follow that know that you know that you know. I think the tools follow that you must be open to learn, that you must be open to be mentored and join communities. I mean, that's one of the reasons coaching is so vivid in our profession, part of it makes me want to, you know, gag and say, smarten up and take, you know, don't become just another lemming in the whole process. But then I realize that these coaching, you know, and consulting groups, and we work with them tremendously, are really, you know, I would refer to them as incubators of greatness, because they build community, because they offer the opportunity, and in they develop best business practices so that they know how to build efficiencies and check for the subluxations in business flow. The good ones do, anyways. And so I really think that if I, you know, and maybe as I reach this point in my career and life, I'm an exceedingly hopeful chiropractor and chiropractor, you know, influencer. I really feel good about it. I really feel good that all the hard work that has been laid down in the last two generations of chiropractors is starting to find a home. I don't know. How do you feel about it?
Oh, I'm totally in agreement with you. You've given language that been thing right along. It's absolutely true. Absolutely true.
It's so interesting because, you know, I know that there's this. I mean, if you came from our school and you come from some of the mechanistic schools of chiropractic, the storyline is, limit the number of chiropractors in the community. If you do the demographics, there's, you know, only supposed to be one per 10,000, and, you know, you'll never make it. And I live in that world, and I made the choices in our community. And I practiced originally in a farming community in the middle of central Alberta. And it was glorious. And, I mean, there's stories that you've heard and that I could tell about how I started up my practice or my, I don't know if it was a practice, I started up practicing, you know, in a hotel room. And I wouldn't recommend that to anybody these days. But, you know, the realities were is that we did what we did back in those days. And I moved to Toronto and started practicing just in the first eastern suburb. I live in the city and traveled out. And at the time, the two eastern suburbs that were associated with us had only five or six chiropractors to service, you know, many, many thousands of people. And people thought that was sort of the way in which you would find your easy way to make a living. And, you know, we got together as a community, those early chiropractors, and we started the traditional, it's like your MACP, but we started the traditional group, and we started to foster a regional grouping of chiropractors. And I left, and so this is kind of interesting, I left my practice to take on the role of owner and CEO of CLA about 2.5 years ago, and I have my own sort of, you know, unique practice, boutique practice. I still keep my hands in it. And when I left, and this is what I loved about it. I mean, I could give you the stories about how, you know, a ton of my patients became chiropractors and about how we changed the community. You know what one of the great things in my community was that I left as a legacy? Is that on the corner, it wasn't on the exact corner, but on the corner between one short block, is that where I set my practice up, there were 13 other chiropractors on the corner.
How cool is that?
That was the essence. And we started with myself, and there was a guy whose name was Eddie Demchuk, and he was down the block and across the way, and there was just two of us. And we believed in the simplicity and the certainty of chiropractic. We changed as the community grew around us. Granted, the numbers of population grew with us, but we changed the fact that chiropractic was part of the fabric of this community. And it reflected that because more people became chiropractors who became chiropractors in the community. And I look back on that, and instead of saying, oh, my God, there's, you know, 12 more competitors, it was exactly the opposite. It was like, wow, we've got a voice and a message that can't wait to be heard by the people here. So, you know, I think that in these goals that we have, which is sharing the story in the biggest of ways, and living as we started this conversation, Peter, which was to live our own lives as we choose to live them, how better way than to be a chiropractor? I mean, you know, at the end of the time, I don't think you ever have taken on an associate, have you?
Yeah, no, just started 3 years ago.
Yeah, so you know, that wasn't my, you know, that wasn't my path originally, but as you have found is that, you know, with all the traveling work we do, and it's nothing about age, it's all the traveling work we do, you know, there's those gaps that you do in the rest. But, you know, as I started to embrace the idea, and this was one of the great things that one of my mentors taught me, and I hope I can share it to the group tonight. And it's a business principle, but it's a life principle. You can only grow as far as you can delegate. And you know, that's a really important thing, because to learn how to delegate, it means you have to learn how to trust. And to learn how to trust, trust is the derivative of the word truth. So for you to be in a trust bond with the person who you are going to work with, you know, whether it's in a marriage or whether it's in a working relationship, it all begins with truth. And to have that truth, that's the certainty I'm talking about. To have that truth, what you really need to do is you need to get clear with yourself as to the why you are a chiropractor and why you wake up every day and put your hands on a patient's spine. And I think that when you get that down clearly, and this is the wealth of understanding it, because you know, one of the other things that I'm quite famous for are a couple of my isms, but one Fletcherism that I'd be happy to share that I've been teaching for years, or at least being quoted for years on, is that you get paid to the level at which you operate and communicate with certainty. And it's exponential. Yep. Because, and you have to choose, I have to choose the pond under which you want to fish in. For instance, you can be greatly certain about caring for somebody with back pain. And you can be the top of your game with somebody who is suffering through myofascial issues and back pain. But there is a cap under which people will pay for back pain management. You know, that's what it is. On the other hand, Peter, if you have that certainty when you go into the marketplace, if you will, that your goal and your intention is to get paid to the level of certainty optimizing human potential, that's a whole different pay scale than optimizing spinal function. And so as a result of that, it's not that, you know, in our communities, people paid us $1 million in adjustment. But what they would do is that they would stay for $1 million worth of referrals and $1 million worth of retention. In other words, it became almost impossible for us to take on new patients because we had such a flow. And so the wealth that was built, if we're just talking pure wealth and the certainty of pay, was that I had to learn from the truth and the trust model to bring on others who would be able to be mentored and to learn to work with the people as I had. So we started to build out to the associate model, and we started to do that so we could offer more hours, and I started to open my life up so that I could practice in that 17 to 20 hour a week model in the hours that I choose, so that we could open up the other traditional, I mean, I was working 60 hours a week at one point, but so that I could operate those other 17 to 20 traditional hours and start to leverage that other time so I could build new ventures and new adventures like CLA and other investable models. And so when you start to get paid for your certainty, it isn't always linear. It's more that you have to leverage that know that you know that you know perspective. And in that is your profound wealth. And, you know, we'll probably take a break here in a few minutes for you to share. But one of the things that you know, I learned along the way was this brilliance that abundance isn't just a word. Abundance is reality. And when you remove your subluxations from your perspective, then here's what happens. I mean, you want to talk about abundance, Peter? BJ used to adjust 16 on the 50.
Wow.
You know, that means that he would adjust 64 per hour.
Wow.
And he wasn't going out and doing a flying seven and snapping joints and necks. He was adjusting primary subluxations. And he became so proficient at doing it that he was able to do that. And I tell the story of, I met a guy who was in my practice, and Kitchener is just a city that's down the way from Toronto here. And he was telling me that, and I think he was one of BJ's patients in either the late 40s or early to mid 50s. But his clearing was somewhere around $3,000 at that time. That was what he had paid to the Palmer system. You have to realize that in real dollars at that time, that was the same as a two-bedroom house in Kitchener.
Wow.
So, you know, you have to keep this in perspective of what was being delivered both at 16 on the 15 and what people would pay to be in the presence of such mastery. So, you know, I'm trying to build this simplicity and certainty model out to try and give a picture that is the heritage of chiropractic, and it's the birthright of everybody who has a DC behind their name if they choose it to be that way. So I'll pass it back to you for some of the conversations that you need to make about Sherman and about the rest of the call.
I'm taking notes crazy on all the things you talked about today. Yeah. I mean, you're totally right on, David. It's absolutely awesome. I do want to share with our listeners a little bit about Sherman Showcase. Showcase Sherman is a weekend event for prospective students. If you know anyone that is interested in chiropractic as a career, Showcase Sherman is a wonderful event to send them to. The school will help sponsor the person to go, as long as the person is indeed a realistic candidate to become a student at the college. The weekends in 2018 are February 9th and 10th. That's upcoming next weekend. August 3rd and 4th, and November 2nd and 3rd. And it is an exciting weekend that is led by the administration of the school, as well as faculty and students, and prospective students get a taste of what it's like to be a student at Sherman College, both in the greater Spartanburg, Greenville area, as well as on campus. They get hands on people, they feel what it's like to palpate a spine, they learn about all the nuances of the academic program, as well as the logistics of financial aid and then the registrar and all the licensing and all the other things that people need to know. So if you're interested, you contact the school or go to the website sherman.edu to get information for Sherman Showcase weekend. So with that is our commercial break. Coming back to you, David.
I don't think that there's anything commercial about that. I mean, this is invitational. And listen, you know,
totally
I think that
it's also a weekend that even if students go, well, prospective students go, lots of times the parents of the students go, and there are parents who have gone to Sherman Showcase weekend who gets as excited as their daughters and sons that are considering the school. So it's an exciting weekend to be at the college. It really is.
You know, it's so interesting, there's so many thoughts that come into my mind about you know, my introductions to chiropractic and otherwise, but I want to share this one. We were doing a mission trip down into Panama, and there was Sigafoos and myself and a few others, and it was sort of one of those, before there was this fashionable approach to these type of trips, Sigafoos invited me to come down. He'd had a relationship with the Ocones, and so they invited us down to start this trip. And so actually, it was very cool, Peter, because the First Lady of Panama had been adjusted, and she was from the Miami area originally, and so I think she was a U.S.-born woman, and so had a familiarity with at least knowing of chiropractic, but realized that in Panama there were only a handful of chiropractors. And so as an initiative, she made a decision that as a First Lady initiative, she was going to do what it took to, you know, her power to invite chiropractors to put on clinics and do this mission work that was associated. And so I was one of the lucky few that got a chance to go into this environment. And I bring this forward because if people don't either know what chiropractic is or have a tilted perspective as to what it is stands for, they only have to see it in action or at least experience that certainty and that simplicity to be completely turned sideways on it. And I was laughing about it because I was thinking, as you were saying that about the parents and the students coming down, I thought, I wonder how many parents wanted to be students, you know, versus sending
right.
their kid there. I wonder how many of them said, ah, to hell with this banking job, I'd rather be a chiropractor. But, you know, I find it, and that's just opportunity thinking, right? But I'm sitting there and we're adjusting in this First Lady initiative. She mandated that they had to open the hospitals to us and the prisons. And that's another story too. But in the hospitals, the physicians were not antagonistic to us. They just didn't know who we were, but they were told, you got to open it up. So we were going into these wards, and it was a moderately modern environment, but they didn't have the tools as we have in North America to be medical. In other words, they didn't have the really great access to the MRIs and to all the different things that make medicine necessary. And what we have, which makes us necessary, is our two hands and our skill to understand how to assess to a subluxation. And so they watched us. And these highly educated and trained medical doctors, many trained in the U.S., came to us afterwards and said, what would it take for us to be chiropractors? How could we become a chiropractor? Because you know what? We got into medicine to heal people. We got stuck in this rut, which is associated with unattainable medical modeling, especially in the sort of emerging third world country. What would it be like to be a chiropractor? Wow. And I sort of think... Wow. Yeah, and I sort of think back and I think, so often, and here's another one of those silly stories. I remember telling a friend of mine that I was going on a cruise, and his first thing was, he said, oh my God, you're not going to tell them you're a chiropractor, are you? And I was like, my negative self-talk goes, oh yeah, that's going to be such a negative, experience when people do. And he immediately followed up by saying, oh man, if people ever found out that you're a chiropractor, you'll never get a chance to relax because everybody's going to want to be adjusted. And it was so different, this sort of, as I described it, opportunity thinking. And this limited self-talk and this limited self-perspective is pervasive in our profession. And I think part of that is that they haven't had the opportunity to see what those medical doctors in Panama saw and what we see every day in our practices, which is that miracle unfold of somebody's innate awakening. And of course, you can't always wait for the experience to happen. And I think that's one of the reasons that I stand behind what we do at CLA, because it really allows us at a very academic level, research grade level, and otherwise, to really watch the unfolding of the nervous system come to that coherent state. When people are subluxated, man, they are fried. Like, I mean, I've been looking deeply into neurofunctional states for many, many years now on oscilloscopes and on the highest level of bandwidth, if you would, of looking at technology. And what I can tell our listeners is very simply this. What you see on X-ray is the end product of what's been going on for decades and years. And what I can tell you is in the run-up to that, there is this incredibly complex intelligent system that is doing the best it can with what it has, and it is so engaged in trying to get to a coherent state that it is throwing everything, including the kitchen sink it has, to try and do anything it can to put itself back to normal, and it's not getting there. And so by the time you see these destructive states of either disease or discomfort or otherwise, you have to understand that it's not a failure of the body. It's actually a body that has exhausted itself with every means that it has to get there. And when we put these neurofunctional sensors on people and we look at, for instance, their HRV, and we take a look at their, which is looking at the balance between their sympathetics and parasympathetics, exhaustion of the reserve and the autonomics, and you take a look at the EMG in it, and you're really looking at a battleground of where gravity is fighting on a system that can't keep up with itself. And then you take a look at thermals and you start to see how deep the changes are in the gland and organ management and regulatories. You start to realize that this incredible system that is designed to keep up with every bit of adaptability we want it to be, it is failing. And then, Peter, we put them under the slightest bit of a change program. I don't know, 12 weeks, 12 months. It doesn't matter. That's short in a lifetime. Could be 12 visits, 2 visits, and you rescan them and you start to see those changes that you never really thought were going to happen if you were just looking through the sensory realm of how do you feel, how do you not feel. But you start to see this genius of innate awakening and coming back and processing at the deepest and most critical level. And so this is what drew me to being involved in it. I have a postdoctoral degree in sports sciences, and one of the things that we did in that level was we looked at performance. And so we we were looking at performance, again, through chiropractic lenses, and the good guys were looking at the performance of how tissue repaired itself and otherwise. And the sports injury guys were just kind of looking at taping and all the rest of it. But as chiropractors, when we take a look at this performance of an intelligent complex system reorganize itself and it becomes highly efficient, well, that's where the genius of performance really comes. Now, if your grandmother performing, that's a little different than an Olympic athlete. And I got a chance to work with Olympians as we were able to start working with them as they took that next step and next step and next step. Now, some of that is managing them through that inevitable injurious time frame, but the majority of it is ensuring that when they go set to perform, which could be in their practice sessions or in their performance and competitive sessions, that they are at their peak. And we can offer that to each of our patients. We can offer that. I mean, everybody's an Olympian on our tables, right? And so you can offer that opportunity to be checked and to be ensuring that every day they wake up, that their system could be accessed to become an Olympian. And I just love the fact that I didn't lock myself into how are you, but more what are you doing, you know. And the why was already in there, but it was all about how are we going to keep you at that optimal level to see if you can get one step further. And I took that really seriously. And every morning when we would open our practice, we would engage under, you know, sort of a huddle. And we had a sort of principal rule that I set up, and that we, two things in our practice. Number one, we operated through what we referred to as an invitational model. And the invitational practice is coming from that point of certainty, which said that we didn't tell people they needed us. We invited them in to see how powerful they could be. And so it comes from a different perspective of, let me see what I can do to invite you into this great story that we've learned to practice so well. So that was sort of the mindset we had. But the practicality of it was, is that we knew that every time that door opened, and it opened hundreds of times a day, is that every time that door opened in our practice, we knew we were relevant and the top skilled people in our industry of looking at four generations of every person that walked in that door. And it meant that meant that if a great grandparent was walking in, we knew that we could be relevant to a grandparent, to a parent, and to the child. And you get it. You know, if a mother walked in, it goes both ways. And it was that sense that we were open to invite them in and that we were capable beyond what they had any expectations of us being, that we built this incredibly joyful practice that changed a lot of the community as how they saw chiropractic. And it was, and I hope you can hear it in my voice, but it was just fun. Like it was what you'd wake up and want to do every day. So that's sort of my story of what it's like to be a chiropractor in my head. And I don't know. I think it resonates with a guy like you because you and I, you know, love to meet up with one another.
100%. 100%. You know, we have just a couple minutes left, and you can't do this, but I'm going to ask you to do it. So some people are familiar with CLA. Some people are not. Could you give a two-minute snapshot of what CLA does and what it offers? Because there is no other company in chiropractic that does what you do. And I think it's of tremendous value in practices around the world.
Yeah, well, thank you. And we do have a worldwide presence. I think presently we sell into 40 different countries where chiropractors operate. I think one of the most proud moments we have is that our URL.com. So I think it kind of speaks loudly as to what our intent is. You know what? We crafted using the message of chiropractic, we crafted databases that were unique to chiropractors. And I say that because we crafted it by looking at what a subluxation could be measured at the spinal and neural level. And in doing so, we did the research that associated with what a well-adjusted patient would look like. And as a result of that, when somebody uses, for instance, one of our sensors, which say is electromyography or EMG, when they are adjusting their patients or examining their patients, they now can check against the reference as to what a well-adjusted patient is and make decisions as to how they are going to keep that patient on a care plan. what I think we're proudest of is the fact that neurology isn't simply the sensory or the autonomics or the motor system. It's a combination of all, and includes the activity of a mindfulness that's affiliated with it. And our sensors we primarily recommend a three-sensor array so that you look at the neurofunctional spinal setup through three separate windows. And when you combine those, we actually provide our clients with a really cool unified scoring model. So it takes a lot of the communication, a lot of the mystery out of it. We call it the core score. And it's a score that talks about the core functions within that person's core. And so CLA is a dedicated technology research and development company that has been relentless at collecting patient data over the years. We're now cloud-based. So we hold the largest repository of clinical data that has ever been collected within the chiropractic profession. And as a result of that, we are now in a position to partner with groups like Sherman, like Life, like Life West, like New Zealand, collaborate with their research departments so that we can bring forward the essence of the triune of life, which is intelligence, force, and matter, all acting together. And, of course, it means that we can observe that through these neurofunctional arrays, but not because we're looking at electrical signals in neurology. We're looking at complex systems reorganizing themselves under the guidance of a chiropractor measuring against a chiropractic outcome. And I know that sort of doesn't talk to what we are, but we're a dedicated company. Our core values start off with something that say chiropractic first. And we never forget that we are in the chiropractic industry only. The second thing that we are is that we're relentlessly seeking quality. And so we never, ever try to put forward a process or a product that doesn't have the validity and reliability built into it. And we're constantly seeking ways under which we can become and remain the most innovative approach within the profession. And, Peter, I'm always thankful that there are, we have thousands of clients around the world. We're the largest technology-based examination subluxation center, company in the industry. And it's our passion and our pleasure to communicate and work with groups that you affiliate with, whether it be the ICPA, the IFCO,
Absolutely.
The Sherman College. Everybody needs to know that there's an opportunity to be better in practice, and we want them to get them. So that's what we stand for.
That's awesome. Awesome. If people want more information, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, I'm the easiest guy to get in touch with because you can just send me something to dfletcher@subluxation.com. If you want to go and take a look at what it's like to put your hands on a piece of technology and then allow it to scan to the patient's nervous system, they just have to go to subluxation.com or insightcla.com. If you forget how to spell the word subluxation, Insight is the technology, so it's insightcla.com or subluxation.com. They both end up in the same place. And so we're very proud of opening the door so that others can take a look at it, and we want you to be part of it. Our mission, very clearly within CLA, is to have a subluxation station, or an insight as we call it, in the centerpiece or the hub of every practice on the planet, because we just know the value that it brings and the ability it brings to, getting paid to the level at which you operate with certainty. So that's my goal.
Love it. David, I can't thank you enough for tonight. As always, it's an inspiration to hear you, to have you share not just your wisdom, but your passion and your heart for our great profession. So thank you for your time and opening yourself up to us. It's been an honor to be the host. It's been great.
Well, it's a pretty easy ask when I get a chance to work with Sherman and Peter Kevorkian in the same night. So thank you.
Oh, you're very kind. Excellent.